It's time for Trackside Tonight with Randy Dyke, Joe Linebarrier, and Billy Osberg. Trackside Tonight is brought to you by Daytona Dodge and Chrysler, DeLand Motorsports, Mopar Speed Shop, Volusia Speedway Park, and by Valvoline. To get in on the action, call 239-0033, star 1150, or toll free at 1-800-927-0033. Now, here's Randy, Joe, and Billy.
Welcome to Trackside Tonight. I'm Randy Dye.
I'm Joe Linebarrier.
And I'm Billy the Kid.
Boy, that sounds good.
Don't it?
Yeah, that sounds good right there.
It's
Three Musketeers, we're all back.
The planets have aligned.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, I don't know what kind of motorsports we could talk about. Certainly, we were just doing our weekly show prep for the past 45 seconds. That's when we begin that. And, of course, Volusia Speedway Park, we raced. Billy and I took a trip to Ocala with Tanya Friday night. But we can always talk about Trevor Immelman, I guess.
Well, you know, and if you follow golf at all, I think it's a cool story because here's a guy that, you know, Gary, he's from South Africa. His hero is Gary Player. Gary Player has the longest string of consecutive starts ever at Augusta National, now 51 in a row, a three-time winner, and his last win was 30 years ago. And, you know, Trevor Immelman, you can say what you want about him winning, and maybe who's Trevor Immelman before this? Well, this is, you know, he's a great golfer. He beat Tiger Woods a couple years ago in Chicago by two shots and kind of faced him down, and that hasn't happened to too many guys out there. And he led every day. He led at the end of the first day. He led at the end of the second day. He led at the end of the third day, and he led on the most important day, and held off all the Chargers. So, you know, good congratulations to him.
Speaking of Chargers and Challengers, man, what a trip I had at Daytona Dodge today. Went there to buy a part, and, you know, my son was with me. He's 19, and he's just into cars like most 19-year-olds. And you don't just go to Daytona Dodge to buy a part and walk away. I mean, this is like it could be literally an all-day affair to see your collection, to see the displays of the performance cars. It's just an amazing place. I really enjoyed it.
You know, it's really cool. The performance cars today are some of the comparisons you have. I see you must have picked up one of the Challenger.
Yes, that's what just reminded me. This is an unbelievable car, and I do want to talk about it.
Well, interestingly enough, horsepower-wise, it's rated the same as the 1970 Hemi Challenger was rated. It does a lot of things better than the original 70 Challenger did. And the only thing that it's really, in fact, quarter mile speed, it's actually a little bit quicker than the old Challenger. And one of the things that I really, people don't understand today that I think is really important to point out is these cars are efficient. They're fuel efficient. You know, you've seen me drive an SRT8 Charger. And that's 425 horsepower, just awesome automobile. But believe it or not, at a speed that is higher than the speed limit, but not killing the speed limit, but about 80 plus mile an hour on the highway, I have gotten in excess of 24 miles a gallon.
Wow.
And now, I mean, you know, if you're using all that horsepower all the time, you can't expect that. But the point being is that, and you know as well as I do, I love the old cars because I've got some of them sitting on display.
Barrett Jackson material, ladies and gentlemen. That's all I can tell you.
Going to need to go over there and test drive one of the old cars. Don't want to test drive the new car.
Barrett Jackson material, no doubt about
well,
it. That's
but,
all I
but,
can tell
but
you.
But the point is, so I have an affection for the old cars, but the new ones have the performance, they have style, and they're a lot more efficient.
And comfort. I mean, the amenities and the electronics and the, you know, just all of the things that were so connected communication-wise, you know, just to look at the dash display. But, Randy, you know, of course, the SRT, the RT, those are going to be the ones that are most sought after by enthusiasts, obviously. But not only will they manufacture those, but an SE will be also offered. And I want to ask you, is that car going to be more mass-produced than, say, the SRT and the RT?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're going to have
The V6. Anybody can get one. I mean,
oh, you know, sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, now, I want to say that Chrysler is not going to They're not going to overbuild these cars. If you think about it, you look across the country, there's a lot of people out there, but they're only going to build somewhere between 45 and 50,000 total Challengers in 1 year.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's that really is not a big number, but it's a number they feel like that they can accommodate, a reasonable amount of people, and there'll be a lot of six-cylinders available. There'll be a lot of RTs available, and there'll be quite a bit fewer SRTs available. One of the cool things about this car that, I didn't have any idea we were going to do this, but I appreciate the opportunity.
And I didn't either, but no problem. I mean,
okay. The SRT and the RT, and as well as the Challenger, there's a six-cylinder, are all going to be available in a six-speed manual transmission.
Right.
So now think about
auto shift.
Well, no. That's an automatic. Okay, I'm talking about a clutch and a gear shift.
Okay.
Six-speed manual with 425 horsepower got to be a blast. I hadn't driven one of those yet, but it's got to be a blast.
We are blessed at Volusia Speedway Park to have you involved, and with that, you provide us with our pace vehicle each Saturday night. And Jerry Connors, of course, parts manager, loves bringing them out there. And we talked about a month ago, and that's all I want to talk about is this new Challenger. I said, my kid would love a ride in that. He goes, oh, yeah, I'll bring one out. Well, today, he had a little different story. He said, I don't know if Randy's going to let me bring one. But anyway, we're looking forward to that. We really are.
Well, we might be able to bring one, but we'll have to get the permission of the owner.
Yes,
those
course.
Are all those right. First SRTs. Well, I've got – there's a couple more now.
Okay, good.
Those are all sold.
Excellent.
And, they're all numbered and have a – With the idea that there'll be some collector value in them, and we certainly think so. I mean, one of the things we're doing that is different, every time a hot car comes out, people always, I'm going to give it a commercial. People, dealerships are forever taking advantage of the circumstance and putting a premium price on them. We're not doing that. We're selling them at what this manufacturer suggests the price ought to be.
When you say that, it reminds me of the Ford GT that they relaunched about 5 years ago. It was pretty much name your price, what you're willing to pay for the Ford GT.
Oh, it was.
That was crazy. $250,000.
Yeah. I'm trying to see what Billy's trying to
do. He wants a quote on one. He wants you to write down the price.
No, I want your autograph.
I don't think so. But anyway.
Fine automobile.
We're excited about it, and there's a lot of other cool things coming from Dodge. But, I guess what I'm trying to say is that you can still buy a fun car that's exciting to drive, that's safe to drive, and isn't the gas hog that you remember it as being.
Best part about it, Dodge, of course, always has had their own identity. And you look at the Charger when they relaunched that, doesn't look anything, well, maybe a little bit of influence.
Very little.
Old ones, very little. Right. Mustang came out with their retro. And that looks like the old one. Challenger, more so than any manufacturer I've ever seen, looking like the original Challenger.
I was fortunate enough to get to serve on a committee for the last, it's been over 3 years, working on this car in Detroit. I've been to Detroit. I know Detroit better than I know DeLand. And that was one of the things that really we stressed over and over and over again, that we really believe that it should be true to the heritage, true to its origin. And we'll see whether we're right or we're wrong. If you look at the new Camaro that's coming out next year, it's more of a retro evolutionary, I'd call it retro evolutionary revolutionary all in one, because it's kind of trying to be what it was, but it's certainly trying to be something different, too. And maybe they'll be right and we'll be wrong, but we've tried hard to be, loyal and faithful to its roots. But at the same time, they've got some cool buzz models coming that will identify with the younger generation. The guys like me, we like the old style car. Guys like your son, they're going to be a little bit more modern in their expectation, and believe it or not, they've been able to accomplish both with this car and some of the models that are coming. So it'll be interesting to see how everybody likes it. We hope they do. We're proud of it, and We're looking forward to being able to have something that exciting to show people.
If you haven't seen this thing, folks, go to Dodge.com/Challenger. It's that simple.
Right. Well, racing. I guess the Hendricks have they finally broke their dry spell.
By 9 seconds. Pretty darn impressive.
Yeah. Isn't it always a bummer, though, when gas mileage has something to do with it?
Yeah, it is.
Because, I mean, Mark Martin had him covered.
I don't know why he went in. I guess he knew. Well, he couldn't make it.
Yeah, they obviously
don't
had
you gamble at that point, though, Randy? Don't you just try to squeeze out every ounce you can and just go for it?
Well, the interesting
part... It's not points racing.
Well, and see, that's the interesting part about that car, because it's the driver who is running for the Drivers' Championship. It's the top 12 drivers' points, not the top 12 owners' points. So I'm not... I really don't know either. I think with the way they've got that deal set up between Mark and Eric Almirola... driving the car, unless it was just an absolute foregone conclusion, there was no chance he was going to be able to get there, then I guess you pit. But there's no other reason, certainly, other than that they absolutely had to know, because I think you gamble. If it's close, you definitely got to gamble, right?
Without a doubt. I have a question. How do the drivers know when they're low on fuel? Because they don't have a gas gauge in the car.
They have a fuel pressure.
They have fuel pressure, but even so, at some point during practice, and it might be now or it might have been a couple years ago, as long as the configuration of the race car is the same, they'll put a certain amount of fuel in the car and take it out there and essentially run it out of gas to know how many laps they can run. And, you know, there's always a window. It depends on how the driver drives the car and all that sort of thing. But... the fuel gauge really wouldn't do them any good. It's not, they don't, that's kind of like, it's like having a speedometer. You don't really need to know. Probably you don't want to know. You know, in a lot of cases, you don't want to know. Maybe not with the fuel, but as far as the speedometer goes, I don't think you'd want to know how fast you're going.
I like seeing put one of them in there that says your tires are no good.
they know that after the third lap.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's coming in on new tires. You know, when are you ever going to get on those guys? I mean, here you go. You go out and caution. We come in. We change tires. Four laps later, caution. Here they all come in again. New tires.
We had a
never happened to me.
We had a situation Saturday night. We had a mini stock feature, 50 laps. I had one guy say he had an 8-gallon fuel cell. He said, "I don't think I can make it all 50." I said, "Well, you better pit." He said, "Are you going to throw the yellow for me?" I said, "No. You better pit and put some gas in it. While you're at it, you got to put new tires on that toy."
My goodness.
Huh?
They had a bunch of mini stocks now.
They had a good bit.
You know,
ran 50 laps in 30 minutes.
Well, you ran 20 laps in 60 minutes in the modified feature.
I knew that was coming.
I know. Same way with the late model race.
We didn't stay around for
the late
model.
Same way with the pure stock race.
Pure stock race was terrible. They got a night off. They got the next week off, and it was scheduled. But modified day, it actually shook down pretty good. It was. It was a nephew and an uncle, right down to the wire. Jamie Carter and Jimmy Carter, both out of Jacksonville. But good to see him win. But, yeah, it was tough. I think we finished with only five of them.
Well, those guys were brutal on each other.
Yeah. I mean, and Billy was in the tower. He said, and Billy knows these guys personally a lot better than I. He says, you know, watch him. He'll take him out. Yeah. So, I mean, there is no love lost and no blood thicker than water concept there like there is with the mini stocks, Travis Stats and Charlie Stats, father and son.
Those guys, I was going to bring that up next, the mini stock feature, or not feature, I'm sorry, it was the heat race that I was watching with the Stats in it together. It was really pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, there's a perfect example of how hard racing can go without touching anybody and still put on a good show.
Randy, they do that great one. Every time they're on the track together. They do that. And you saw Charlie do it in the feature, I think just wanted to run side by side with his son. And then decided to just, you know, stop playing, and then he just took off. But it's amazing to watch him
race. So the dad came back and beat the son.
Sure did. Yeah.
The son put a whooping on him.
Yeah, he did. $1,000. AR Machine put that up, and Snap-on 5C Tools put that up. So all three of our AR Machine-powered cars finished in the top three.
One of the things I noticed, I think it was a late model heat. It was a late model heat, or it might have been a,
Sportsman. Are formerly street stocks.
Yeah, formerly called street stocks, right. Man, I'll tell you what, if you're not in line, ready to come out when it's your turn, I saw the green flag come out on one of the heat races, and there were guys just getting out of turn two, trying to catch up to the pack to get the green flag.
That's why, if you'll notice, I'm giving a lineup at the last lap of the last race.
Billy,
I have no time to do it.
What's the deal there?
We tell them every week when you roll out in the heat race, we're going to go. Sometimes you'll have a guy whose car won't start, but what happens is these guys lag around and they don't have their helmets on, might not have their gloves on, and they'll sit there and wait, and they won't put them on until the guys tell them to fire their motors. But we show them one to go. The guy on the pit road shows them one to go, and they know right then you need to be ready to go, because when you roll out, we're going to race. And that's the way we've always done it. Unless you have one guy that can't fire, then they'll push him off and we'll wait on him. But other than that, they lag back and they just sit there and wait like you're going to wait on. We're not going
to
wait on.
And you add that up, and I'm sure you'll be close to an hour of time.
Well, you got time to sit around and ride and watch them ride around. This ain't no asphalt show.
Oh,
that's
my.
For sure.
But now,
that's for
old,
sure.
This ain't no Ocala Speedway.
Yeah.
Which
was asphalt Saturday night. The
other thing I noticed about your program, and tell me if this is a change or not, but you are in communication with just about every series that I was watching. Now, I don't know about maybe the Strictly Stock guys.
Every class we have what's called a receiver, where we can talk to the drivers, but they can't talk back to us. And that thing works really good. I mean, we can let them know where the caution is, where the cars are either on the bottom, top of the track, where the caution is. Put them in line so you don't have to walk out on the track and say the four in front of the seven or vice versa. We tell them on the receiver. If we tell them more than twice, then that means that they don't have one. We put them to the back. Because
okay.
It is mandatory that everybody have one. They really don't have to have a receiver. They can just have a scanner. You don't have to. I mean, this thing's like $180. It's the world's smallest scanner. It's a little small. They call the receiver. And the earpieces alone are like $80. So by the time you buy both of them, it's like $180. But like I tell them at the driver's meeting every week, you can use a scanner with iPod phones. We don't care as long as you can hear us. That's all we want you to be able to do is hear us.
Young man on the line right now can certainly shed a lot of light on that, Billy. But that's a great topic we want to touch on some more. But he is our 2007 UMP Modified defending champion out of DeLand, Florida. Drives the Holly Bluff Marina, DeLand Auto Parts, number 99 in the Modifieds. Big Mac Charlie McNichols with us. Charlie, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing all right tonight, Joe. How are you doing?
Fantastic. I was certainly hoping we would have a lot more to talk about. I saw that thing go bad on you in turn one, man.
Yeah, it's a real shame. We had a great car, made some adjustments after the heat race that we weren't too sure about, wanted to just try them out, and it ended up being great. We were real fast, and unfortunately got caught out on a caution. Had to pick a restart point, and I picked low, where there was an oil slick that I had thought would be gone by the time I got there after we ran a few laps on it, but unfortunately it wasn't, and lost my restart a little bit and got ran into the back of, not on anybody's fault. I restarted way slower than I should have, obviously hitting that oil slick, but that dislodged the spring cup in the back of the car, so essentially it had no right rear spring and was carrying the left front about 3 feet in the air.
It was
hard to win a race that way.
Yeah. I saw that car, and I made that comment.
You did.
I said, holy, that car's broke on the right rear, right? Isn't that where it
yes.
broke? Yeah.
But, Charlie, why do some cars, and explain this to me. This is probably a simple question as far as you're concerned as a driver. Billy knows mechanics, and certainly Randy, we know he knows what's going on. But some cars you want to hike up the left rear. What was detrimental? About or the left front. Why was that detrimental? Why? What if you'd have stayed in the throttle?
Because it was as high as the telephone pole. That was the wrong one.
Okay. Hey, take us through the geometry of what's happening when that happened, the spring cup break.
Well, the thing is, Randy touched on it mainly, is you want to pick up the left front just a little bit in the sense that you want to get your weight back onto the rear of the car and onto the right side to give it some more bite and some drive off the corner. The problem was not so much that the left front was hiking up, but with no right rear spring, the car was pretty much uncontrollable and especially hard, because that's the way you get your traction into the racetrack is through the springs in the race car. With no effective right rear spring back there, I could essentially get no drive off the right rear, and the car was hard to control as well as slow. In addition to the other parts and pieces back there that are held apart by the spring that were rubbing together that we were risking breaking, just wasn't a fast combination to be running without a right rear spring like that.
Now, the spring was in your car?
It was in the car. It's basically, it's like a coilover. They call it a coilover eliminator, where there's a shock on one side, and on the other side is a dummy shock with the spring around it. And the piece that we lost was the bottom cup that holds that spring in place. Right.
Billy's trying to catch you with something. There. Well, you're trying to catch him with something, man. Yeah, what are you talking about?
I asked him this three times yesterday and his dad twice. We found the spring on the back straightaway of the racetrack.
Well, I can't claim responsibility for that.
The 11 car, Chuck Gustafson found the spring on the inside of the back straightaway wall, and guess what? It was an illegal spring.
It wasn't yours, right, Big Mac?
Yeah, so
no.
You already answered the question.
I've never seen it before in my life.
Well, you know, the thing that I think people need to understand is, even though you want that right rear to be soft enough, the spring still has to provide enough resistance to keep the car stable. And you know, without any of that resistance, he's in major trouble. The car just wants to go around. Essentially, that car, you probably had to fight your arms off just to keep it from going all the way around, didn't you?
Really wasn't that bad, to be honest, because of the spring was still on the eliminator, so I guess okay. It was providing a certain amount of tension. It wasn't a no-tension scenario, but it would take about, I don't know, 4 or 5 inches of travel before it would even start getting into the spring.
Yeah, okay.
So then, it wasn't so much wanting to come around, but by the time that it would get any of that spring force into the right rear to turn the car, the left front would be 5 feet in the air, and the right front would be bottomed out, and you just couldn't steer it at that point. Right. So
I'm coming to your shop tomorrow, and I want to see both these springs.
Oh, man, would you give him a break? This is a show tonight, man. He's not in tech.
Yeah. Hey, I'll just do my job, man.
Okay. Yeah.
24/7.
That's a seven-day-a-week job, man.
Yes, it is. You ought to see the phone calls he takes.
Yeah.
Charlie, of course, you've had a lot of success in this modified, there's no doubt, and you've done this relatively on a shoestring. I mean, you've had Holly Bluff Marina help you out. Certainly Kevin and DeLand Auto Parts, the whole gang over there. And most importantly, your father with his commitment to your program, not only financially, but certainly physically. Everything that you guys are able to accomplish on this car, you do together. But, you know, we talked a little bit Saturday afternoon. You're actually looking at perhaps some another opportunity, maybe looking for a late model ride. Why you want to change?
Well, essentially, we've come as far as we can go. In our little family operation here, we're pretty much out of money, and, in terms of traveling anywhere, we're certainly out of crew help just between me and my father. I think that I've accomplished just about all I can on the modified. I've had a great time with it and a lot of fun and some pretty good success, but it's time to move up. You know, I feel like I've conquered what there is to be conquered there, and I'd like to move up to a new challenge. We need some sponsorship help, or I need to find a ride, or, you know, we need to take the appropriate measures to get there because it's just so expensive. We have great sponsors in Holly Bluff Marina, Rick and Judy Armstrong, and Kevin Mobley at DeLand Auto Parts. They help us out as much as we can, or as much as they can anyway, but it's just so expensive nowadays that, you know, you got to have multiple sponsors or keep scratching those lottery tickets. I haven't found me a lucky one of them yet. Or some other means to be able to pay for it, but I'd like to move up and try to make some better things out of my career, try to travel around, make a name for myself, and see what I can't do. But we just don't have the cash and finances to do that between me and my father, so we are definitely in need of a big-time sponsor, which reminds me, Daytona Dodge would look real nice on the side of one of those late models. You know that?
Randy, I knew nothing about that. I knew nothing about that.
Let me give you my answer. Do you know how many cars and trucks we sell to people that are both fans and competitors at the racetrack? If I sponsored one guy, and I'd have one friend and about 2,000 enemies, and I don't need any more enemies. So, you know, just for the record, Daytona Dodge doesn't even sponsor my race car. That's a fact.
Well, I guess I'm barking up the wrong tree. Then, huh?
Well, we love the sport, and we support and sponsor the sport.
Though you are the 2007 Mopar Speed Shop champ.
There you go. Yeah.
I got a jacket that says it. I already got a logo on a jacket and everything.
Well, that's good. But, you know, as you hopefully you understand, I mean, we've got...
I certainly understand.
We enjoy being a part of the sport and helping, which I guess we try to think that we help lots of people by being involved with the racetracks and some of that stuff. And of course, we're involved out at the quarter midget track, too, with the kids out at New Smyrna. What a blast that is.
Charlie, what kind of things have you and your father done, if anything, yet, as far as, you know, kind of promoting? I mean, what are you looking to do? I mean, have you put together a package, perhaps, on what your aspirations are and what you could provide a company?
We do. I've put together a presentation to explain that. It's a little hard to surmise in a radio interview, but I feel that we've got a good package and a marketable package and something that can certainly help a potential advertiser and business owner. We're looking to travel some more, get some more exposure throughout the southeastern United States, and not only at Volusia Speedway Park, although I'm willing to do that too. That's not an option that has set sail, but we're looking to maybe travel and run some more big races, and I think that we've got something that can certainly have the potential to be successful and a good marketing venture. I feel that I'm at least a decently well-spoken, well-groomed young man that can represent a sponsor well, and I feel like we have a good package if we can just find, you know, it's so tough right now with the economy to find people that have the expendable finances to run an advertising program like that and to not go to billboards and yellow pages, other avenues. So I feel like we certainly have a good positive package to put forth. It's just a matter of finding the right people with the right opportunities and people who are looking to advertise on a race car.
I got you, man. It's just, it's called pounding the pavement, buddy, believe me. Pounding the pavement. And, you know, I will reiterate, I mean, you do have what it takes, I mean, to make a sponsor, to uphold the obligations. And you will bring a lot to a particular company, no matter what it is. If it's an auto dealership or whatever it is, you will certainly, you know, uphold your part of the bargain by providing them with, you know, the representation that they deserve and the way you, you know, you're very responsible, you know, at the racetrack and the way you carry yourself. Professional operation, man. I mean, and I know you're going to go far and do well.
Once you find the person or you find someone that is going to help you, they will realize they haven't made a mistake, Charlie Mendico. Believe it or not, over the last 3-4 years, we watched you become one of the better race car drivers at the facility. You starting in a mini stock class and going to a hobby stock car and now running your modified, and you've been successful in every group.
Yep.
And no matter what you do from this moment on, you'll always be successful.
Well, thank you very much, guys. I appreciate those kind words.
Charlie, I want to thank you for listening to the program. I know you're part of the contingent out there that listens but probably never calls, right?
Exactly. me and my dad have sat here the past, 6 weeks or so that the show's been on, and sat there and tried to catch the phone number at the beginning and tried to figure out something. Well, we'd like to call and let them know we're listening, but what do we got anything to say? And look at each other and kind of try to figure it out. Maybe we'll wait next week. Maybe
I can see the two of y'all sitting there going, well, you call, Dad. No, you call, kid.
You call.
Well, you can always call. This program, Charlie, just for the record, several years ago now, it's a long time, and according to some of the people who know say we're the longest continuously run radio program, racing radio program in the entire Southeast. But it was started to do just what we're doing tonight, and that is to try to elevate the local race car driver in the local community and hopefully get sponsors and get advertisers and businesses to understand the value in local motorsports. So, you know, if you don't have anything else to say on a given Monday night except, hey, the folks that helped me out, call and tell us who they are, and we're glad to hear that.
If you are listening and you want to help out Charlie McNichol, come to the racetrack Saturday night, see me, and I'll get you in touch with him or however you want to do that.
Yeah, and Charlie, maybe you can, if you don't mind, is there any way to that you can be contacted if you don't mind putting that over the air? I mean, it's up to you, but.
No problem at all. Well, we're at Volusia Speedway Park each and every Saturday night that our equipment holds up, and even when we're not there racing, we usually come out to watch. But in addition to that, I have a phone number. It'd be 386-738-5919 if anybody out there is interested. You can reach us anytime, day or night. Don't hesitate to call.
Well, we appreciate you calling.
3 a.m.
Hey, if they want to spend money with me, I bet they'll take the call.
I'm going to call 3 a.m.
No, not you. Charlie, thanks for listening. Good luck for the rest of the year and with the other aspirations you have with the career.
Thank you very much.
Right. See you Saturday, bud.
All right.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah. All right, bud.
I'm going to call Saturday and say, I'm going to call at 3 a.m. and say, is Richard Childers looking
for
me? No, that's not nice. He's back. Billy's definitely back all
yes,
the way.
Yes, he is, man.
Yeah. And this is Kyle Yarbrough looking for Charlie McNichol. It's the same car color. His car's the same color as Kyle Yarbrough.
Let me make a point here.
That's him calling back now. Hey, Kyle Yarbrough.
I want to tell you that the premier event, the beginning event for the new 43 Dodge.
Ready.
Okay, is going to be this Saturday at DeLand Motorsports.
The unveiling.
It'll be there. TJ is going crazy putting this thing together and has got it advertised in a number of places. And so we're working hard to get it finished up, at least to the point where we can have a nice show for him over there. And so that's our first effort, is to go there in DeLand on Woodland Boulevard at DeLand Motorsports, and we're going to have the race car and the truck and trailer and whatever else
and
they've got going on.
Just north of State Road 472, just north on
the road
west side.
Construction going on there. We could make us a little circle.
Billy.
Construction, and they got little cones. And
what time is it going to be, Randy?
We're going to be there early in the morning. I think this program starts at 10, but we'll be in there before that and most of the day. One of the things when you – I think hopefully there's some race car drivers out there listening. And one of the things that's really, really important – I'm going to speak as a sponsor now, okay – it's really important. Certainly, your performance on the racetrack is a part of the package, but the real part of the package, you've got to take a look at. If you're going to speak to a sponsor, the sponsor's number one priority is his business, okay? And his business is whatever it is he sells, whatever it is he's in business for. You've got to be able to convince the sponsor that you can improve his business by him spending money with you and your program. It's not about his car. The ego part is, there's my car out there leading the race, and there's the checkered flag, and I'm going to get my picture in victory lane with my driver. That's the ego part. But if you want that program to continue, it's got to be that the association that sponsor has with that race car has improved his business. Okay, that's the only reason that person's going to spend money. And so when you're sitting out there listening and you're trying to put together, how am I going to go to sponsors and get what's the pitch? What's going to work? What's going to work is coming up with an idea that's going to improve their business. Then they'll spend money with you. You're no different in that regard than any other advertising venue that is available to that business. That the race car driver is competing with radio, newspaper, television, internet, and other types of magazines, other types of things like that. Billboards, as Charlie said, and those are all at certain kinds of advertising. And if you want to get that business owner's or business manager's advertising dollar, you've got to be able to give him something tangible that he can say, yep, that guy came in my door because I was associated with that race car. That's how you'll get it to work.
It's not all about you.
That's right.
My famous saying for that is, let me help you help me.
Right.
And that by saying, like you said once before, the one thing we talked about on this show before is that when that race car is going around the track, and if it wrecks somebody else, you should make yourself feel like you're an employee of every sponsor.
That's absolutely.
So, I mean, would you do that? No, you wouldn't do it. It's like walking into one of your stores here and dumping soda on the floor just to watch somebody fall down in it. That's wrong. You can't do that.
I mean, if you go to a sponsor and say, look, how about this? I want a $5,000 sponsorship. And for every customer that comes in your store that is associated with me, you pay it to me as you get it.
Right.
There you go.
There's an example.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I mean, back it up.
Right.
If you go to a restaurant, as an example, get them to get coupons on it, and you put your name on the back of everyone.
Sure. Yeah. And Billy, you know, you've been involved with this. Certainly, we know Randy has. But I go back to the asphalt days at Volusia back in the early 90s with Chris Lawrence, and talking about how you need to react and be responsible with a sponsor. Another obligation is your appearance.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And I love Chris Lawrence, but those days, shorts, no shirt, out there playing football, they're not going to cut it.
Well,
and it was a long time ago.
It's one thing at the racetrack.
It's
one thing at the racetrack, and it's another thing at an event.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and because at the racetrack, you're working. You know, and there's a little different deal there. But when you're, and of course, when you're doing a sponsor event, you're working, but you should be looking, you know, you should be ready to be that sponsor's representative.
If this guy gives you T-shirts and he gives you hats, everybody should be wearing them.
Oh, yeah.
I am one to know there that. If the guy gives you something, especially since he give it to you, you should be wearing it.
Can I take a? That was me that hit the microphone. I apologize. One other thing that you do when you're going after a sponsor, try to go after sponsors that are like-minded. In other words, that benefit from the synergy of each other. You know, in what I mean by that is you take sponsors that where an individual will maybe go from the one sponsor to the next sponsor because they're similar, or their need leads to the next need. Does that make any sense? You know, that's how you get, and you get all those people developing a little spin around it. You know, as an example, TJ at DeLand Motorsports is the one, he's putting on this whole new deal. I mean, he's spinning the whole thing. And what I've asked him, what do you want from me? What is it? I need to understand completely and clearly what you want me to do. And he told me, and we're prepared to go do that. And hopefully then the little creativity, maybe we can do a little bit more.
Sure.
I had one company, and we'll talk about our sponsors later, I had one company who's actually launching a new product, a new service, and he's going to use this venue as a way to do that. And I think it's a pretty cool idea what he's doing.
So even you, I mean, you went out and you have sponsors on this new race car.
Absolutely.
Sure.
I'm no fool. I don't want to do it in my own pocket. All of it. I mean, the majority of it is out of my own pocket. And these guys are right. I mean, it costs a fortune to do this. But, we have sponsors, but we have... We absolutely feel that same sense of obligation that Billy's talking about. Yeah. You know, you at the end of that sponsorship agreement, you want that sponsor wanting to renew. You want to provide more service than he paid for it up front. That is the absolute way you keep the ball rolling. And it's important to understand who you represent. What is it that – what's their core values? Who's their demographic? What can I do to support that? And it's not this, you know, hey, we race out at Volusia Speedway Park every Saturday night, and we've been the champions 17 years, and we've won 47 times, and, you know, we sat on the poles 66 times. And, you know, that's all good. But if you look at the equation, remember, you're competing for advertising dollars. You're not competing for checkered flags when you're talking to the sponsor. Billy, right?
A prime example would be Arby's. Arby's sponsors Matt Kenseth, and if he wins on Saturday, you get free French fries on Monday. This is the kind of promotion things that, you don't get me wrong, your car will be sitting at DeLand Motorsports on Saturday. Somebody could ride by, see your car, and stop. Never been to New Smyrna Speedway before. Somebody's going to say, where's that car race? New Smyrna Speedway. So guess what? Now not only did you get a new fan, New Smyrna Speedway got more fans too. And regardless, this guy could be somebody who owns a business, could go to New Smyrna, see a car that says sponsor wanted, go in there afterwards and pick them up. Where'd it come from?
Right.
From you helping your sponsor or you guys promoting together.
Well, and the other thing that we do is, you know, most people, I think the problem is that most of the time when you go out looking for a sponsor, you're looking for somebody to give you something. If you'll go there with the idea that I'm going to give them something,
yep.
Okay, that will change the outlook, and that'll change the equation. And you know, we also affiliate ourselves with a couple of good causes in the community. We look for certain types of organizations to affiliate with. And there are certain things that we stay all the way away from.
Yeah,
if
sure.
You go in there, you know, like you said, Randy, if you go in with the mindset that this isn't a 50-50 deal, but more of a 70 my side, 30 your side deal,
right.
you'll pick up a sponsor, and everything will be good for both sides.
Right. That's absolutely right. Well, we intended to teach the class tonight, but. Who are we going to go to first, Joe? We got them all on here. Bill? Okay, we're going to
Bill. I think Bill's long distance.
Okay, go ahead. Bill? Hello?
Yes, this is Bill. How are we doing?
Bill, how you doing, man?
All right. I didn't skip town, so I'm going to be around to harass you this week again. But getting on Randy's same subject he's on, along the same line, I think a lot of the guys missed the boat. Everybody's running around with bare trailers now.
With what?
With nothing under trailers. I mean, you go to Volusia or New Smyrna, you got maybe 2,000-3,000 people.
Not Randy. I saw this thing today, Bill. Unbelievable. Hawkeye
no,
graphics.
Saying, but that's
beautiful.
Another part
oh,
of
I know. I agree.
That's a big billboard going down the road or parking someplace. There are all more people there than at the track.
Well, you know, and it's I think, Bill, you would agree with this, those businesses out there, those sponsors out there, you know, the guy that owns his own business who's going to spend his own money in advertising, he probably takes pretty good care of his business. He's proud of his business. He's proud of the way that it looks. He likes to keep it clean. He likes to keep it fresh. He likes to keep the appearance up. And if you don't do the same with the stuff that you have, the race car, the suit, the helmet, the trailer, the truck, I don't say it has to be new. I just say it has to be clean and neat and make a good appearance statement. And if you don't do that, you're also putting yourself in, you know, behind the eight ball because there's several guys in front of you who will do all that stuff, right or
well,
wrong.
I'm not arguing that point. I'm just saying is right. A lot of guys, they don't put the sponsor in the trailer, and they're missing a big opportunity because he's going to get more benefit or as much benefit from the trailer as the actual race car.
Probably more.
Because he's going down the road, and
well,
people have seen it.
It's big. You know, my trailer is 38 feet in length, and it's extra tall in the height.
It's going to be like 12 feet tall. It's up there.
You can stand up plus
some. It's like going in a cup hauler, a stacker.
No, it's not a stacker. No. We're not that sophisticated or that wealthy. But it's nice for, you know, I'll tell you this, we could tow it anywhere. I mean, we could tow it anywhere that you want to go, for sure. But no, it's not a stacker, but it's nice, and it's clean, and it represents the sponsors in a very professional way.
Got new tires on it.
There's stickers hey, on here, too.
Bill, you are here in the South.
On the side of the trailer.
Yeah. You're here in the South as you do every winter and obviously now into the spring. But you've been traveling to several different racetracks. You've been going to Ocala Speedway on Friday nights, and you were able to make the sprint car show this past Friday night. Take us through some of that.
Well, it was an interesting thing, but one of the things I didn't realize was sprint cars. Well, Kenny Adams got the pole because he'd won his heat. But then doing the forming up before they actually get into their double wide starting, he spun out, so he had to go to the tail end.
Before the green flag flew?
Yeah, before they even.
But you know why this is correct?
Because they had to re-push them.
Yep, you only
that's
get
right,
you
one
only
push.
Get one push off.
Yeah, Bill knew that.
And that made it for a little bit more interesting.
I just want to give Matt Tiffany a nod. I mean, this kid let him. It just took it to him, ran out of racetrack, literally, trying to find every bit of dirt he could. There was about 12 inches left in turn four. He used that, hit the wall, coming down to one to go, Randy. Hit the right rear tire down on the 19T, and that was it.
He had brushed it off two or three times down the
line. Oh, absolutely.
He was definitely using every inch of the track.
Yep. Whatever was left. I mean, she dried. She got pretty slick and glossy, and he did what he could. But unfortunately, we've had young Matt Tiffany on the program before, but it was pretty cool.
For me, the cool part was Don, or I can't think of the kid's name that won it, though. But
Bringon, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember, unfortunately, years ago, his father got killed up in the Pennsylvania area running the 410.
Yep.
And I guess now he's Kenny Adams' stepson. But I was glad to see him get a win anyway, even though. It was interesting, and I'm not quite sure how close his thing was Sport Allen there. He kind of shut him off in the second turn, but slide job to slide job. That's not one of my favorite things, but the sprint seemed to go for that.
No doubt. Well, I know you're at Volusia Saturday night, and we appreciate that, and hopefully we'll see you this Saturday.
Yeah, one other thing I you mentioned on briefly, though, was the receiver. And I mentioned that to Angie over at Ocala. I mean, that speeds up the show so much better.
Well, I think they've got them ordered or something, Bill. I don't know what they're doing.
I think the whole situation falls back to they still have the asphalt mentality there where you have to take three or four pace laps and you don't have to.
Unnecessarily, yeah.
They come out of the pits and take three laps every time before they start.
Yeah, when the heat races roll out of the pits, they could go right then. I mean, they have a full racetrack to be ready and that's some of the things, you know, like, I mean, that they need to probably work on. And, you know, I was standing there talking to Mike for a while on Friday night, and he seems like he's starting to figure it out and get things right.
the other thing is, well, as you guys and them, I know you guys have the equipment, but the other thing is a transponder. I mean, that makes lineup so easy. I mean, you go back to your last lap and you just dump it out. Here's what the way they came across last time. You know, each car's got a transponder, and anytime you got a restart, you know exactly where everybody was.
You're exactly right.
And I know you use it there in, you know, the Outlaws and the Big Blocks and so on, but that speeds up the show. And the name of the game is get out, and, you know, I want to watch racing while I'm there, not just, you know, watch a parade of guys putting around.
You go to watch racing, not to watch pace laps. I understand that. All right, Bill, thanks for calling, bud. We'll see you Saturday.
All right, have a good one.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm sure we're going to go to line one.
Yeah,
now.
We are.
It almost sounds like that line.
Gene, hung up. You've been so patient.
Are you there, Gene? Come on.
Line one.
Mark, line one.
Gene.
It's
blinking. There you go.
Hello?
Gene.
Maybe she's calling back. Try
line
two.
I'm sure that
line
hung up. That's what the beeping noise was.
Try line two. Okay.
I heard it.
You know, I am one that really appreciates that pace thing you guys had out there. That was a, what do you call it?
Race Seaver.
Good. I mean, it was amazing to watch. I mean, everybody followed along just nicely.
Is New Smyrna not using those?
They use radios. You can use radios and asphalt.
Oh, okay. That's right.
Okay, line two. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Gene.
We're sorry.
No. You said you had a lot of calls. I was feeling a little upset. Somebody else get there at time. I get enough.
We got Jimmy wants to talk to. What's happening?
He'll be after you.
Oh, well. Yeah. Well, so what are we going to do about racing this week, guys?
This week?
This coming week.
Mexico.
Yeah. I know. That's the bush.
Yep.
I know.
Hey, by the way, guys, I'll be in Mexico. The 28th through the 2nd, I'll miss a month.
Don't drink the water.
I'm cool with it. I've been there like five times.
So what's everybody's opinion of the weekend's races?
I think, number one, I don't think any of us saw the whole thing, and we saw pieces of it.
Oh, that's nice.
I think Mark was, I can only surmise that they were clearly going to run out of gas because otherwise, I think they would have risked it if they thought there was any doubt.
That's not Mark's style.
Well,
like that. I mean, he was running good.
You know, but I think if you think about it, forget the fact that he had to come in and pit. Isn't it amazing that this guy is the oldest competing NASCAR driver out there?
49, I think he is.
And he's competing at the absolute highest level and still contends to win anytime he's out there.
I mean,
it's really. He went up and I know you're a Dale Jr. fan, but he went up and just put it on him and took it, you know, went right by him.
I know he did.
And Dale Jr., nobody else had anything for Dale Jr. except Mark at that particular point in the race.
Yep.
And it's really pretty cool to watch.
It was. I mean, you got to respect certain drivers in the business, and Mark Martin's one of them.
He's one of those guys. You know what? The difference is Mark Martin has earned it.
Sure.
And Tony Stewart begs for it.
Yeah.
And at this point, if Kyle Busch doesn't change it, he'll never get it.
No.
And, there's a huge difference in those guys. And I think at one show a few weeks ago, we started talking about the Darrell Waltrip comparison between Kyle Busch and Darrell Waltrip. But I think it's important to point out that Darrell Waltrip went on to win 3 championships.
Yeah.
And he also, what is the fourth, I think he's the fourth winningest driver.
I think so.
In NASCAR history.
I think so.
Something
like that.
It's probably a little unfair for us to say that Kyle Busch is like Darrell Waltrip at this stage of the game.
Well, one thing too, Darrell Waltrip could back up his mouth.
Well, not right away he couldn't, but eventually he did. Yeah, there's no question about it.
Yeah.
He wasn't Jaws for nothing, and he still got him.
Yeah,
I mean, every once in a while he drives me crazy with that. You know, Toyota. You see these guys on Speed Channel? They all wear their. They
it's
got Speed on one, and they
and
got
their manufacturer or a sponsor.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
It really is. That's a little.
I don't
hard
know
to
what
watch.
They're getting. What they're getting at. I don't know what they're.
Well,
really
obviously
for.
Getting paid.
Jeez.
You know, there's no question. That's not free.
It's just branding, man. I mean, just branding everywhere you look.
Right.
It's ridiculous. Hey, all right, you guys. Do you watch the older Busch series at all? Do you follow them at all?
The older Busch series.
Well, I'm talking, it's nationwide now, but I got a problem with that, so it's Busch as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
Okay, the one guy that's really doing a great job is Brad Keselowski.
Yeah, I have a question for you, Gene. Do you have cable at all, or do you just have rabbit ears on your head?
I have rabbit ears.
Okay. I should have known the answer to that. I just stepped right in it, and bam.
Well, you guys want to put a donation every month for me to have cable. I gladly have cable.
Well, you're right.
My
that's
element, honey.
That's
we had
expensive.
Jeff Gordon going to donate the money, and when he found out you didn't like him, he caught the
well, if you, you know what? I got an idea for you. If you'd quit smoking, you'd feel better, and you could get cable. How's that?
I told you before I will quit smoking when you start making mad passionate love. Now, how's that?
Whoa!
Wow. Family show, family show.
Is that going to be a deal or what?
No, I where is that kill button?
You stepped into that one, Randy.
Okay.
No, really.
Help, guys, quickly.
Why are you all
thank goodness we don't have a webcam.
I think you were in the mud hole all by yourself, Randy. All
right. That's bad.
All right.
This is before our time.
Isn't it time for Jimmy Jeep here now?
Oh, you cowards. Now, I just wonder what you're bringing on Brad Keselowski.
Well.
He's terrible.
Ooh. You think so? I mean, he's got a Class A ride, so...
Yeah.
And he's certainly wrecked an awful lot of race cars.
He's on the pole.
But that being said, Junior seems to be sticking with him.
Right. So. I think he moved up. They moved up to fifth. They stayed in sixth in the Busch this year. So far for standings.
He's a different driver this year than he was last year. That's for sure.
Well, he came in on the tail end of it. He came in after what? Shane Huffman and there was a couple of others that Junior had in the car.
You know, I'm going to give you a quick. I'm going to turn the tides on you here quick, and then we got to go to the other caller. But
that's okay.
Let's talk quickly. It's a major issue, and it's going to become in the next several weeks. I think it's going to become an even more major issue. Drug testing for NASCAR drivers.
Should have already been going on.
Gene, your opinion?
They should do it. There's no reason why they shouldn't at all.
Should happen every week.
Was Aaron Fike on smack during the race?
Why?
That's what I got out of
that
story.
That's what they said. Yeah, that's what everybody got.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Fike was quite up front, and he's not the only one.
What about Shane Mill?
I was just going to say that.
Oh, yeah. They never said what his drug of choice was.
Twice in 2 years?
But he said he used to race under the influence.
Good Lord.
You know, they should do random testing.
I got to tell you, I think that it's...
Just like the NFL.
To me... It's an extremely scary, scary proposition.
Yes, it is.
To have a guy, girl, a race car driver racing under the influence of anything.
Right.
And I would tell you that it would include some prescriptions. I mean, you know, I don't know what the policy is, but I think a guy driving a race car, a race car driver driving a race car, should have to declare at the day of the event anything they've been taking that week. You fix it by doing the drug test, doctor's prescription, or otherwise.
I'm coming in for two tires and gas in and give me a bud.
Well, yeah, I mean, beer, alcohol, no, same thing.
Give me a beer.
Yeah, he wasn't thinking Budweiser.
And any of you guys, okay, well, I don't know.
What's that smoke coming out of the cockpit? It's all right, fellas, I just dropped it.
Yeah. Okay. You know, and you guys, I'll bet you both you guys know race car drivers that were drinking the day of an event.
Absolutely. We all know that. Yeah, there's no doubt.
What's that debris on the track? Oh, that's a prescription painful bottle.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, I think NASCAR... In my opinion, NASCAR has no reason not to do it. And in the day and age that we are living in, I think it absolutely it's the responsible thing to do.
Well, now, even the drivers want more testing now.
Well,
because
some of the drivers do.
Well, the ones that don't
got something.
Maybe they've got exactly
got something to hide.
Right.
I think you've got to do it. I mean, in professional sport today. It's almost irresponsible not to have.
Of course it is, and the speeds that they are gaining, say, whether they got restrictor plates on or not, at those speeds, I mean,
it doesn't matter what speed it is.
No, but the higher the speed, the worse the risk.
If an individual can't get in a race car without the aid of some substance or free of a prescription substance that might cause a problem, they should be out.
Yeah.
We got to go. We got Jimmy Jeep waiting.
Okay, we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Gene.
Okay.
I was just thinking, when Michael McDowell flipped over, you get out of the car like, oh, man.
That was trippy, man.
I'm just kidding. I ain't saying he's on anything, but no. Holy cow, to get out of that thing and hold your thumb up like this?
Yeah.
Oh, man, what are you thinking?
All right.
Jimmy G.
Hey, guys.
What's going on?
Why weren't you at Ocala? We had one push truck. It was terrible.
And actually, you had two push trucks from the old TBRA guys.
That wasn't enough, okay?
Well, we didn't get invited.
You're kidding me.
Wild Child is doing the flagging there, but some miscommunications. You got a couple of guys up out of Tampa, and we couldn't get our trucks in there.
Yeah,
so.
They needed you bad, buddy.
Well, I know. We'll work on it. You don't talk about drug testing. I think our guys from our Daytona Antique Auto Racing were using them there Saturday night. We had two first-time winners. One guy was 72, and the other one was up in his upper 60s. I think he had a lot of geritol.
Oh, God. Stop it, Jimmy.
Yeah, you know,
he'll be here all week, right?
Dave Jarrett, 72, and Gordy Bird. Gordy's Chevy powered. He's got a 1934 Hudson Terraplane body on his car, which probably was the last one in the United States, and actually got cut up. But we had a pretty good turnout, real good racing and feature in the stock cars, and we had eight good cars in the feature, and well, pretty good showing down there in Orlando.
Huh. And like you had a lot of fun.
Well, yeah, you know, once in a while when you get a guy who gets out of the car and finally gets to second place, and his knuckles are white, and he's saying, I didn't think I could do it. Well, it's great. But you see, Danny Martin took a win over there at East Bay in the other ASCS show.
He was my pick Friday night, and I lost that little dollar pool we had between three of us. But, the hammer is amazing. I'm glad. I mean, last lap pass over Kenny Adams, right?
Yeah. I mean, they got some pretty good boys out there. You know, all these young guns, you know. And they're a crew that all those guys need an extra boost. You know, Bryn Gaughan, Danny Martin, you know, they're the guys that are going to be, you know, taking the place of Rodriguez and Rudiments and like that. And it's good to see them out there winning. But we're home to get our cars up there to Volusia. We're still waiting for Tanya. We had a call in to get to her today, so. Yeah. See what you can do.
Yeah, no doubt. We're pushing for you, and we're looking forward to getting the Daytona Antique Auto Racing Association in there. But, Jimmy, we're going to see you before that next, the early in May. The Florida Sprint cars are back, and you guys will be
there. Right. Yeah, we'll be in there, and we might get in there sooner.
Very well.
Get up and pay you guys a visit. So, anyway.
Jimmy, thanks, man. Really appreciate you calling. All right, buddy. Jimmy G.
Bye.
Calling from Longwood, Florida.
Well, Joe, what's happening at the Volusia Speedway Park this weekend?
We are going to give you five divisions of wild sliding, dirt slinging action. We're going to give the four cylinders a night off, but that will leave you with our UMP modified, certainly our late model division, sportsmen, street stocks, and our mini stocks. Looking forward to it.
Starting next Monday night, we will give away four free tickets to Volusia Speedway Park every Monday.
Every Monday, that's right. Two pairs of free tickets to Volusia Speedway Park. We should have done it tonight, as a matter of fact.
And we will keep up with who wins, and we won't give them to the same people every time.
tell me who won the late model race, Clegg?
Daryl Padgett, Darryl, my friend.
And while we're talking about Volusia Speedway Park, this issue's bothering me, really bothering me. And I wish you guys in the driver's meeting would give some helmet-throwing lessons.
Oh, no doubt.
You know, I mean.
Listen, Randy, Lawton Minshew, obviously upset. And we'll talk about the incident. I know we're running out of time. But that's three cars in three races. Okay?
Well, he didn't ruin the car.
No, he didn't ruin the car. Yeah. But he has ruined two, let me tell you.
Well, I'll tell you what. He's ruined one helmet.
Yeah.
Okay.
He wasn't even close, was he?
No, he missed by 20 feet.
Who was he throwing it at, Bill?
Oh, what was the guy's name?
Wasn't that the 46 car?
I think it was.
Was that Daryl Padgett?
It was the 46.
That's the kid from. He's a young guy.
Yeah, kid from Georgia.
He ended up winning.
Jacksonville, yeah.
Okay, and I mean,
he hit the wall though. He knocked some of the dirt off the wall. I got to thank you for that, Lawton. If you listen.
Yeah, that helmet. I tell you what, you guys need to take that helmet out of play.
He was throwing it so hard, if he hit the fence, it might have went through.
Because, honestly, I mean, as hard as that hit the wall. He shouldn't be wearing it.
How could he miss, though, Randy? I don't get it.
I'd rather him throw the helmet than throw his hands.
I mean, he could miss.
Back in the day, he would.
He's a mean cat.
I mean, he missed by a mile. You know, it was actually, as he did that, I was thinking about the guy from Texas that was offered $15,000 for any helmet throwing incident at the NASCAR race. So anyway, if you're looking for helmet throwing action or you're looking for just good old racing at Volusia Speedway Park this weekend, when,
just 15 miles west of Daytona on State Road 40 in Barberville. It starts at 5 o'clock. That's when the grandstands open and racing starts at 7:30. Saturday night, folks, come on out. You will certainly enjoy yourself, no doubt.
You could see me there, that's for sure.
Oh, God.
And we'll be back here next Monday night to give you all the results. Good night, everybody.
So, good night.